Praised be Jesus and Mary. How can this man, how can our Lord, give us his flesh to eat? He can do so in Holy Communion, we well know, when we receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity under the appearances of bread and wine. And it's one of the greatest desires of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to have us receive him in Holy Communion, to unite ourselves to him by means of this sacrament. He told this to us through the visionary, Saint Margaret Mary. And he gives us this opportunity not only on the first Fridays of the month like today, but he gives us this opportunity to receive him even every day if we wish. Daily communion is something that's possible, though it's only a recently revived custom and practice in the church. For many centuries it wasn't so common. But today we are able to receive him every single day. And we'll just look at this today, at the topic of frequent communion, because it's important. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, our Lord says, so we must do it well. And if in the past, daily communion kind of became rare, it was because theologians, and even good-willed theologians, put certain conditions on it that were a bit too rigorous. It's not wrong to have conditions, because there are certain conditions that must be met. It is excessive to make them too rigorous, making it impossible for the faithful. So about 100 years ago, the church laid down what the conditions are for daily communion. Most of them we already know. Today we'll just look at a couple of them, but we might forget, because familiarity can make us forget certain things. And here they are. So St. Pius X, about 100 years ago, issued a decree in which he said, "No one who is in the state of grace and who approaches the holy table with a right and devout intention can be prohibited from it." So the question is, what's a right and devout intention? A right and devout intention consists in this, that he who approaches the holy table should do so not out of routine or vainglory or human respect, but with the wish to please God, to be more closely united with him by charity, and to have recourse to this divine remedy for his weakness and defects. It's the first thing that we should examine ourselves on if we go to communion frequently and even daily. Do we have this right intention? Or do we receive out of routine or vain glory, human respect? Do we have the wish to please God, to be more closely united with him by charity, and to have recourse to this divine remedy for our weakness and defects? Second, another thing that we tend to forget, when we do approach communion frequently, one should still take care that Holy Communion be preceded by careful preparation and followed by an appropriate thanksgiving according to each one's strength, circumstances, and duties. There's no predetermined way or time to give to preparation or to thanksgiving. It depends on circumstances, strength and weakness, and duties of each one, each of the faithful that receives communion. But on this too, we have to examine ourselves. Do we prepare for Holy Communion? And afterwards, do we give thanks to our Lord, who remains present within us for some time, as long as the appearances of bread and wine remain? On this subject, there was a well-known American theologian, recently deceased, Father William Most, who wrote the following words, pretty sobering. He says, "Mere carelessness, lack of preparation, or a lack of thanksgiving can be harmful. John Paul II, in his very first encyclical, said that if one does not constantly try to grow spiritually, receiving the Eucharist would lack its full redeeming effectiveness, and there could even be a spiritual loss. To receive out of mere routine, with no special care, with no thanksgiving, is more apt to cause spiritual loss than gain." On this too, we should examine ourselves. You know that saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Of course, it goes for the Eucharist. Receiving the Eucharist out of mere routine, with no special care, no thanksgiving, is more apt to cause spiritual loss than gain. Let's close with an example that for me has always remained present in my consciousness and in my conscience as well. Padre Pio. From his life, we read that once somebody went to him for confession, and a confrere of his, a fellow Capuchin who was also a priest, went to confession to Padre Pio. And he confessed to omitting his thanksgiving after Holy Mass. He neglected to offer up the thanksgiving that he could have done, but he simply neglected, because he said some ministry impeded him. He made an excuse. While Padre Pio was lenient in judging the other faults, when he heard him confess this omission, his countenance became stern, and he said firmly, "Let us see to it that our being unable is not just being unwilling." So this priest, and it happens to us as well, this is for me an examination of conscience. This priest who was making his confession and neglected thanksgiving had a pretext, had an excuse. "Oh, I was unable for this reason." And Padre Pio simply answered, "Let us see to it that our being unable isn't in the end and in reality just to being unwilling." One of the greatest wishes that our Lord has in his Sacred Heart is to see us united to him by Holy Communion, but united to him for the right reasons, with the right intention, with love for him in this blessed sacrament, especially if we can do this often and daily. There's still plenty time today to prepare for Holy Communion, to make it good and better than it was maybe yesterday or the last time you received it. And there's still an opportunity today to offer up the thanksgiving that is in our power to offer up to our Lord, whatever it might be. We can start improving today. Let's ask our Lord for these things. Let's ask him to be able to make the best of our Holy Communions. And last, let's also ask Our Lady, who is the first living tabernacle, to make us love her Son truly present in this blessed sacrament. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Praised be Jesus and Mary.